Thank you, brother. It's good to be back tonight. It's Monday night, and it's getting kind of late, so I won't speak too long tonight. I want to make sure we get Monday night football when we go back to the hotel. Brother Hamby was talking about being in Africa, the story he was telling about how they wear these things to ward evil spirits off, right? I think a lot of countries, we do that in Mongolia as well, they carry trinkets or beads or babies. They'll take their baby and they'll put ashes on their forehead from their fireplace to ward the spirits off. And all cultures, we do the same thing here in America. I carry something for evil spirits called a 45. That's what I carry. So we all worry about evil spirits, don't we? All country cultures do that. It's been it's really been a pleasure being here. I've really, and I don't say this everywhere I go, I promise you, but I've fallen in love with this church. Everybody in here is just so nice to us and super nice. I feel like family. That's why I get up and act like this. I feel like I'm in the room with my family and they're just cutting up and talking. So it's really good to be here. I love your pastor. First time I met him. And y'all obviously like him. He's been around a while, so y'all obviously like him too. I think he's a super nice guy, him and his wife and his family we've ate with. Today we spent time with some folks here eating at the church. We ate Sunday dinner yesterday with a great family. So everybody here has been super nice, and I really appreciate you. I really do. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I thank you for having us. I thank you for supporting us. Over the years, when you met my dad, and we got these missionary stories we want to tell. I'm going to tell one. There's a young man here named Timothy. Everybody know Timothy, right? Do you know that he went to school with my Mongolian son at Pensacola Christian College, and they know each other. They used to work in the printing department together. So what a small world it is that I met him. And he knows my Mongolian son, Ghana. So it's a blessing to meet him, too. And me and Dad used to work together. Y'all remember Tommy Tillman, my dad. He's been passed away now almost 6 years. And on our table back there, y'all have a book that was written about him by a man. And I bought a stack of them. If anybody wants one, I'll give them away on my table back there if anybody wants to take them and read it. It's a small read, but it's a good book about my dad. And he was a really good man of God. I loved him very much. I miss him. He was a good missionary, really was. When I look at the back on him, how he operated, he did a really good job. God used him in a big way. And he's the one that founded this ministry tonight that we're going to be talking about and presenting in our message tonight, how it all started. And he was in Mongolia when I first went there. Mongolian people, they don't tell jokes. They don't joke around or cut up. Well, they do, but it's a different culture. It's on the other side of the world, and their logic and reason is different than ours. Their jokes to us are not funny, and our jokes to them are not funny. We joke language jokes where we bend words and twist them a little bit, make them mean two different things. And he stood up in our Gobi church one time, and he told everybody in the church, and my dad was a big joker if he knew him. He told everybody in the church that my mother and him found me in a dumpster in America when I was a baby, and that he raised me from birth from a dumpster. And he told that to about 30 or 40 people in the church, and they just looked at him, didn't say too much, you know, and we left, and about a month later, me and my wife went back out there after Dad went over back to Thailand, and they said, "I can't believe that your Mitch was found in a dumpster. He looks just like your dad." His dad. How'd he do that? You know, they really believed he found me in a dumpster. They didn't know he was joking. They don't joke like that. So that's one of the stories in Mongolia. I have a better one when I tell my missionary story here in the next night or two. But me and my wife, when I first went to Mongolia, in Mongolia, all vehicles are taxis. I don't know if they do that in Mexico or Africa. But if you'll hold your hand out, anybody with a car will stop and pick you up, and they'll charge you the same rate that a taxi does. They're always trying to make extra money, and every car I get into is empty. When I get in a guy's car over there, it's attached. I look over his shoulder, and gas tank will be dead empty. Because they're all broke, and they're just trying to make a little money driving people around. And we've actually paid them to drive us, and then I'll say, pull in that gas station over there, and I'll fill their car up for them. So I feel bad for them riding around with no gas in their car like that. So when I first went to Mongolia, we got into one of those taxis with a guy, me and my wife. We weren't married then. We weren't even dating. We were just working together. And the taxi driver, being a foreigner in Mongolia, there's not a lot of foreigners there, especially white guys like me. If you look like me, you're normally a Russian, which is in the country right next door. So the taxi driver asked my wife, and she was in the front and I was in the back. And they were up there laughing, and I said, "What are you laughing at?" And she said, "The taxi driver asked me what country you were from, what language you were speaking." And I told him you were from America speaking English. And he said, "Well, I've heard English before, and that don't sound like English to me." So I get made fun of even in Mongolia when I go there and talk. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about, if y'all remember my dad, he was a missionary to Thailand. That's where he started, to the lepers in Thailand. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that as I talk about my message tonight, which is going to be very brief. But when he was a missionary to Thailand, this ministry started in the late 70s out of New Orleans. And that's why it's harbor evangelism. You wonder why it's called harbor in Mongolia when there's no ocean. We're nowhere around the ocean in Mongolia. But he started down there as a missionary to the merchant seamen, the communist merchant seamen. And then he moved to Thailand several years later. Actually went down to Belize, Central America first, and planted a ministry down there that still works today. There's a missionary named Wayne Anderson that runs that ministry. Him and his wife and dad left it with him. Then he went to Thailand, started working with lepers. And today we still have that one leper colony. Dad started 3 or 4 leper colonies, started several leper churches when he was there that only went to lepers. That's all that went to church there. That's the only people he was reaching, because leprosy was rampant back in those days. It was everywhere. And nobody would get close to lepers. Nobody would mess with them or get around them. So God called Dad to the lepers. And now, many years later, there's a cure for leprosy. Leprosy has been eradicated. There's no such thing as leprosy anymore. But there's still lepers that don't have leprosy. They still call them lepers because they've been cured of leprosy. They have no leprosy in their body, but they're still missing arms, legs, ears, nose, whatever was rotted off of them. And that's what we do now in Thailand. We still keep that ministry going for those lepers that were disabled by leprosy, that don't have a home. And we have 10 lepers there in that village and up in north of Thailand. We have a Thai man running it with a Thai pastor, and we still have a leper church there. We have 10 lepers, and every time one of them would die, which a lot of them are old, we find another leper that don't have leprosy anymore wants to stay with and have a free place to stay. These folks are not saved when we get them. They're Buddhist. And we bring them into our compound. They go to daily Bible study and church on Sunday. And many of them are saved. Some of them are not. We can't make people get saved. But some of them are saved and some of them are not. Very cheap ministry to operate. I'll tell you right now, to operate that ministry with 10 lepers that live there, and we feed them, take care of them, take care of our pastor, our director, and 2 workers that cook and help take care of those lepers, is $1,500 a month. That's pretty cheap, isn't it? So I told people, if the ministry ever falls apart and people quit supporting the work, I can support that ministry out of my Social Security check every month. So we just keep that ministry in honor of God, my dad, and the ministry that started right there. So we keep that going. But I can't help but think about when my dad first went to Mongolia. I mean, Thailand. Has anybody in here ever seen a leper? Have you seen them in real life, in person? I went to Thailand with Dad when I first got saved, and leprosy was still running rampant then. 20-some-odd years ago, but I just had no desire to go work with lepers. God didn't move my heart. He got a hold of me in Mongolia when I went there. But my dad, I just could imagine what he felt that drove him to do what he did for those lepers. If you've never seen one, you'll meet somebody and their whole nose will be rotted off their face. Their ears will be missing. They'll be missing hands or feet. Or just all kind of stuff. Their face gets all distorted, and the skin comes off their face, and they're very hard to look at. And you've heard stories of my dad. He said he would eat with them and sleep with them and loved them, and he never caught leprosy from any of them. But I think what motivated my dad, I want to continue what I talked about Sunday or Sunday during Sunday school. What motivates people to go and sell everything they have and go do something for the Lord, go give up everything, and go work somewhere, maybe in a foreign country or a different city or state. You give up all your comforts, you quit your job where you make good money, and you go do all of that. What would motivate somebody? I said Sunday was a broken heart, right? And you have to have a broken heart for something. But to continue that, there's something else involved with it, and I think it's compassion. Last night, the brother, when he looked at our CD or our video with the orphans in it, he said he felt compassion for those children. I don't think that you can do anything with the Lord without compassion. I just don't believe you can. And, you know, we live in a time, and I think that's what my dad felt when he went to Thailand and saw those lepers. I think that he was just motivated by compassion. I know I was, like Sunday, I said, when I went to Mongolia, I felt compassion for children. I saw street children learned that lived in the city landfill. And I saw those things, and I was moved with compassion. If you look in the book of Jude, I think it's a very important verse. A lot of missionaries quote that verse. You can turn there. I'm not going to turn there, but you're welcome to. In Jude chapter 22, verse 22, And right in the middle of when Jude is writing a scathing letter to false prophets, false teachers, and he's asking us to live a moral life and to not do those things, he says something just out of the blue. Of some have compassion making a difference. Almost like it don't belong there when you read it. Just boom, right in the middle of the chapter. And I think that's one of the most important verses in the Bible to me, because I don't think we can do anything without compassion. We live in a world now with the phones, the internet, with social media, that we just don't like people anymore. You know, we're getting to where we don't like people. And this church don't do it, but I go to churches, and I've been in a lot of churches. I asked Brother Guzman, that's how many churches have you been to? We're trying to get your ministry going. He said 22. I think he said 20 or 22. And I've been probably in over 20-something years, probably a couple of hundred churches, or, you know, we've been to a bunch of them over the years. And I meet people that go, I don't believe we ought to give to foreign missions. Those people don't like us anyway. You know, we shouldn't give to foreign missions, and we should keep everything right here at home. And we should stay at home. I think we should do a lot of work in our own country, but we also have to go all over the world. We have to have compassion for people that's never heard the gospel, that are dying and going to hell. People are doing that every day. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do something without telling you how to fix it, okay? I don't like to get up and bring a message to you, but not tell you, just talk about it, but not tell you how to fix it. So we're going to do that today. I'm not going to turn into Jude right now, but let me get my paper out here. I got some stuff wrote down. Does anybody know the definition of compassion? I mean, we read that all the time, but have you ever really thought of what it means? Let me tell you what the definition of compassion is. It is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. That's what compassion is. And we're losing our compassion in this world, not just this country, but this world. And I feel it myself. So I'm not just getting on you guys, I'm getting on myself too. I feel like I'm losing. You know, the Bible says in the last days, man's love will wax cold. And that's not talking about Hollywood love. That's talking about love where we have concern for other people. You know what I tell people if they want to be like Christ, how to be like Christ, is to do something for somebody that can't do nothing for you. It cannot do nothing for you. You do something for that person. And that's what missions are. Do you think those people in the Yucatan can do anything for Brother Guzman and his family? They can't do nothing for him. People in Mongolia can't do nothing for me. People down here at the liquor store can't do anything for you. Or your neighbor that smokes meth can't do anything for you. They can do absolutely nothing for you. And compassion is strong, too, very strong. Somebody that had compassion shared the gospel with you. You ever thought about that? Somebody cared for you enough to tell you about Christ, whoever that was? Somebody had compassion and started this church. Somebody with compassion. Your pastor has compassion. He could be doing something else besides this. He might could be somewhere making $200,000 or $300,000 a year. I don't know what he did, but he could be doing a lot of other things besides this. But he loves you, has compassion for you. I know a couple of men in here, their wives had compassion on you when they married you. I met two of them here last night while we were eating. I'm not going to say who it is, but you know who you are. I met you last night while we were eating. Let me read some Bible verses. I tell you, somebody else that was filled with passion that we're supposed to be like is Jesus Christ. Have you ever looked up in a concordance how many times compassion and Jesus are linked together? When we started our ministry in Mongolia, we started it from Jesus' teachings. I told y'all when I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus and I want to be just like him. I want to have his compassion. Our ministry, some of them are geared around his compassion. Let me read some verses. Y'all don't have to turn there right now. But let me look at Matthew 9:36. I wrote these down where we can save some time. He says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, having sheep with no shepherd. So that's one of the reasons we plant churches, right? Where we have pastors for people and they can be their shepherds. That's what a pastor is. That's one of the reasons missionaries plant churches. When you got a foreign country that has no gospel, no biblical knowledge, no culture of God, we want to start churches where people can come to church and be led spiritually by a pastor. That's the same thing Jesus. He had compassion for people with no shepherd. Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. You know, if we're not concerned about people's physical health, how can we be concerned about their spiritual health? If we don't care about how people are doing, that's one of the reasons my father went to Mongolia and started a hospital in the Gobi Desert. It's free to all nomads where we can share the gospel. Him and my wife and her dad started that hospital before I was ever saved. And that gave me the opportunity to go work in that hospital and preach the gospel out in that village. But my father, who was full of compassion, had compassion on those Gobi people that they had no good medical care. So God led him to go out there and do that. And then he was able to start a church out of that ministry out in the middle of the Gobi Desert. Let's look at Mark 8:2. Have compassion. It says, I have compassion on the multitude because they've been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. Jesus was full of compassion about hungry people. And you know, we think everybody in this country's got plenty of food. They don't. There's people in this country that need to eat too. Now, they may have went out and spent all their money on drugs and alcohol. That might be why they don't have any food. I remember when I first went to Mongolia, I stayed over there the first time I went for about 6 months. And I had to come back to America and go try to raise some support. And I walked out of Walmart down in Waveland, Mississippi, right on the coast down there before Hurricane Katrina hit. And there's an old man sitting down there by the front door with a cup in his hand. You know, and he's bumming money. And I'm in America. And I walked by the guy and I looked back at him and I thought, what a bum out here. Won't that guy go get a job? Now, I'm a Christian thinking like that. And I know y'all think like that too. You might not admit it, but I know you do. We're all human. And then I got in my car and I sat there a minute. And I thought, you know what? I go to Mongolia and I give people money over there and buy them clothes and feed them. And I got a guy right here that needs some money. So I just went back and gave him $5. And you know what he does with that money is not my business. What I did with it. That was working on my heart, you know, to make me softer and more kinder toward needy people. Now, I don't know what he did with that money. I don't really care. God told me to go give it to him. So God showed me right there in that moment that I need more compassion. We all need more compassion because compassion will drive you, if you have it, to go work with people, to go do things for people that are needy in this community, to reach them with the gospel. And I told y'all Sunday in church about the Methodist church Sunday morning that would give that girl I was living with free groceries. Because when you go help people that you think don't need it, somebody's watching you. And somebody's going to react to that. It may be a spiritual reaction, may lead them to God. We never know. We can just never grow tired or weary of doing good things for the Lord. We can't do it. So I don't want to bring a message tonight and not tell y'all how to fix it. There's a way to fix this. You might be sitting here today and go, you know what, Mitch, I'm old. I have no compassion on anybody. And compassion is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Y'all know that? Bible says if some have compassion, not everybody. There's perfectly good Christians out here that don't have compassion. I know a lot of them. But then they're good folks, man. They love the Lord and they go to church, take care of their families, but they have no compassion. And I really mean this with all my heart. I don't think you can do anything for the Lord without compassion. I just don't think you do. And you say, how can I get compassion if I don't have it? Well, I got the cure. I got the remedy, okay, for that. Let's open your Bibles, and we're going to read here, and I'm going to read this and turn it back over to the pastor. I'm not going to stay up here too long. Because I tell you, we need compassion. Because that's the way we get motivated to do stuff. Let's turn over our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm not going to read it. This is a prayer that Paul was having for the Ephesians church in Ephesus. And let's look at verse 14. And we'll start with his prayer. Chapter 3, verse 14. I'm sorry. And Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all the saints, that is his breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Listen to this verse, chapter 20. Now to him that is above, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you know that we have the Holy Spirit living in us and the believers? Not non-believers, but born-again believers in this room. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you got right now all you're going to get. You got it all. I remember when my mother died, I took it really hard. I took my dad passing pretty hard, but my mother, we know mothers were worse. It was all I could handle to know my mother died. And when I found out she had died, I went in my bedroom and prayed, and God took that away from me with prayer. Do you know if you ask God to give you compassion, he'll give it to you? If you ask him, but you have to ask him, and he'll give it to you. If you're a Christian and you really mean it, it's the same prayer when you repent, when you're lost, and you pray a prayer from the heart. I remember when I got saved, I went in my bedroom and I lifted up my hands by myself in the air and I said, God, I've given myself to the devil for 47 years. And I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I meant that. And you know what? I wound up in Mongolia. God sent me to Mongolia. And he'll do that for you. If you lift your hands up to him, you say, God, I give myself to you. I'll do anything you want me to. And you mean that, he'll use you. He'll do something with you to bring him glory and honor. So I said, if you really want to live an abundant life of peace and joy, we were talking about that today, about what a life it is to be a missionary. Man, I'm just telling you, it's a life you just get. But everybody in this room can do it. Anybody in this room can do what we do. You can go be a missionary. You can be a pastor of a church. You just have to ask God for it. And when you mean that, he'll give it to you. So I appreciate you guys and thank you. Thank you, brother.
Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And would you dare pray that prayer? Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Would you give me compassion? Would you give me the heart that I should have? Would you dare do that? While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you need to come pray while she's playing. You obey the Lord.